Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Give Freely as we pick up in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
We have these Jewish friends in Israel that we have been seeking to share the truths of Jesus Christ with. But it's a difficult task sharing with them because he is a guide and he guides a lot of Christian tours. And as a guide, he sees a lot of the inner workings and the background and a lot of the ripoffs. And when I go over, he'll start telling me about these ripoffs that he sees, where these tour guides get the people over there, the famous evangelists and all, and then they'll really rip the people off. And he'll tell me of these things, and somehow he's gotten on the mailing list of some of these evangelists, and he gets these computerized letters, "Dear brother," you know, and all of this junk. You know, have you been bothered with an ear problem lately, or maybe it's the eyes or the nose or a knee or hepatitis? I mean, you know, the guy goes down a long list and you're bound to hit something. Somehow I've been impressed to pray for you lately, you know, and I think there might be something wrong, and why don't you write me and share with me? Now, please don't send me any money for my birthday, but you know, I've been laboring for the Lord 341 nights a year, and I'm really tired, and I'm going to take a vacation, and we could use a little extra money, you know, and our organ blew up, and all this kind of stuff. And here this guy's getting these computerized letters, and he's smart enough to see through them, and to him, the ministry is a sham. He sees the ripoffs. Jesus said to his disciples, "Freely you have received, freely give." They weren't to demand fees for their services. They weren't to be taking offerings for themselves. They had received freely from God and they were to give freely. I could spend the rest of the evening on that verse, but we need to get on. I promised you we're going to go three chapters. Now the Lord said, "Don't provide gold or silver, nor brass in your purses. Don't take any coins in your purses, nor scrip for your journey. Don't even take two coats, nor an extra pair of shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat." Now you can go, and it's proper that the people support you. You don't have to take a lot of money with you. It's proper that the people support you. The workman is worthy of his hire. However, you're not to go in and make yourself a burden or lay yourself upon people. "Now, into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who is worthy and stay there until you leave. And when you come into a house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you." Now, in those days, they really thought quite a bit about giving a person a blessing. If they would greet you, they would often greet you with a blessing of the Lord. "The blessings of the Lord be upon you and your seed." But then if they get down the road and think, "Oh, he wasn't worthy, you know, that was a Gentile or something," you come back and he said, "I take that blessing back." You know, they felt that they had to remove the blessings that they gave if the person was undeserving or unworthy. So Jesus is pretty much saying that. If the house is worthy, let your peace abide. If it's not, take your peace with you. "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, just shake the dust off your feet. Verily I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I am sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now, someone said, well, serpents aren't really noted to be very wise. They're not considered to be a wise kind of a creature. And I heard a professor in biology making fun of the knowledge of Christ by pointing out to the class that serpents really weren't wise, and so for the Lord to say be as wise as serpents was a rather stupid thing and showed that he had really very little knowledge of biology. One of the students spoke up in class and said, how long do you think you would survive without any arms or legs? And you had to take care of yourself out in the desert. So, you have to give them some credit. At least they survive. It's more than we could do. The servant of the Lord, harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to their councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. That is, they will beat you. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not take forethought on how or what you're going to say. For it will be given to you in the same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. So you don't have to make up little speeches in advance. Just let the Lord anoint you by his Spirit. The brother shall deliver up brother to death, the father the child, the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So here we have that basis for the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, which is oftentimes used as a contrast to those who would go to antinomianism, to the extremes of the security of the believer. And there are those who press this side of the coin, he that endures to the end, and the perseverance of the saints. Truth lies somewhere in the middle. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now Jesus is referring to his journey that he's going to be taking among these cities. And so if they persecute you in one city and all, just go to the next. You'll not actually go through all of these cities before I'll be right behind you. I'll be coming behind you and I'll be ministering in these cities. He's not really referring to his second coming at all, but just to his ministry in these cities of the Galilee. Now Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. Oh, what a, that's enough. You betcha it is. That's great if we could only be as our Lord. And he said, you're not greater than the Lord. It's just enough that you be as the Lord. God help us to be as the Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub or the Lord of Flies, how much more shall they call them of his household? They called me names, they're going to call you names. Now don't fear them, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. And what I am telling you in darkness, that speak in the light. And what you hear sort of whispered in the ear, that preach from the housetops. Now, I've been teaching you, I've been training you, I've been telling you in these little intercessions that we have. Now, you go out and proclaim these truths openly. That which you've heard in these little sessions that we've had, go out and proclaim it. And don't fear them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So he's not saying to fear Satan. Satan has no capacity of destroying your soul in hell. He's saying fear God. Don't fear man. The worst thing man can do is kill you. So why should you fear man? To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You should fear the one who is able to take both body and soul and cast it into hell. That's the one you really should be fearing. Are not two sparrows sold for a half of a cent? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father taking note. Again, your Father. And again, your Father oversees his creation. And one of the common things of God's creation are the little sparrows. They are so common as to be almost worthless. You can buy four of them for a penny in those days. Two sparrows sold for a half a farthing, and yet not a little sparrow falls, but what your Father doesn't know it, doesn't make note of it. Again, how detailed is God's knowledge of you? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, just look at all of us here tonight. Some make it easy on the Lord. But isn't it interesting, the trivia that God knows about us? You know, he knows more about us than we know about ourselves. God knows even trivia about you. That's how concerned your Father is with you. Oh, if we would only be aware of the tremendous concern that our Father has with us, his children. For Jesus said, you are worth more than many sparrows. If God takes note of the sparrows, and he's been saying, don't worry about, you know, they kill you. There's not even a sparrow falls to the ground, but what your Father knows it. If you fall to the ground in the proclaiming of the gospel, if you be killed in your endeavor to reach others with the glorious love of Christ, how much more will your Father take note, be aware? So you really have nothing to fear, not man. The worst they can do is kill you. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Heavy, heavy verse. Because we must all stand before God one day. Stand before the Creator of the universe. Now, if I have confessed Jesus Christ before men, when my name is called and I have to stand before God, Jesus will step forth and confess me before the Father. Father, this is Chuck. He's perfect. Isn't that what Jude said? Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Why should you laugh when I say I'm, when he says I'm perfect? Because you know the truth. And I know the truth. But I also know the power of my Redeemer. And when he confesses me before the Father, and when he presents me before the Father, I will be complete in him, faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. But if a person has denied Jesus before men, you're going to stand all alone before God. The books will be open, and he who knows all things, he who knows the secrets of the heart. Actually, the Bible says everything is naked and open before him with whom we have to do. And there in the embarrassment of your own bare being and everything exposed, and you might turn furtively to Jesus Christ saying, Lord, Lord, shake his head, I never knew you. Ooh, what a heavy thing. If you deny me before men, I also will deny you before my Father. Don't think that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. The gospel of Jesus Christ unifies men. It brings together a tax collector and a zealot. But the gospel of Jesus Christ also divides men. It divides men into two categories: those who are a part of the kingdom of God and those who are a part of the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus divides men as well as unifies men. And many times Jesus divides those within a household. A child comes into the kingdom of light, but the father continues to rebel in the kingdom of darkness. And so a division comes and a difference comes. And this contention oftentimes arises over the differences of being in the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. So I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will often be those of his own household. Jesus was speaking out of personal experience. For at this particular time, his brothers were against him. He that loves his father or mother more than he loves me is not worthy of me. And he who loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Our love for Christ has to be supreme, even above those of our family members, if they are not united with us in the faith. If they are not a part of that kingdom of light, our love for Christ must exceed even our love for those in our own family. And he that does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. When we get to chapter 16, we'll take up the cross and what it means. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he who loses life for my sake shall find it. That we will also take up in chapter 16. He that receives you. Now, you see the authority that Jesus gives to his disciples. I mean, you are there representing the Lord. You should be as your Lord. And those that receive you receive me. And he that receives me receives the Father who sent me. And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So you're doing it as unto the Lord, giving as unto the Lord, giving unto a servant of the Lord. You receive him as you receive the Lord, and as you give to him, it is as giving unto the Lord, and you will receive your reward for it. Giving a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, you shall in no wise lose your reward. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of these commandments, he departed from there to teach and to preach in their city. So he sent them out in front of them, and then he departed and was following up now and coming into the cities. They were sort of advance men for him to go out in advance. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, John had been placed in prison by Herod. And John had been preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, there's one who is coming after me. He's mightier than I am. I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. But here is John still in Herod's prison, and he's saying to the Lord, hey, let's get the show on the road. For even John did not fully understand the mission of Christ in his first coming, but was anticipating the immediate establishment of the kingdom of God as was promised in the Old Testament scriptures. And so the fact that Jesus had not yet proclaimed his power and overthrown the Roman yoke, and John was still in prison, he was getting impatient. And he sends his disciples to Jesus, say, hey, are you the one, or shall we start looking for someone else? Which he was just really saying, let's get this thing going. I'm tired of sitting here in jail. Let's get the kingdom on the road, you know, let's get this movement going. Are you the one that we should look for, or shall we start looking for someone else?
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 10 through 11 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you in His love and grace. May the Lord watch over you, and may you be filled with His Spirit and walk in the strength and in the power of the Spirit of God as He anoints you day by day. May you be enabled by Him. And may you enter into that fullness that He has for you, walking with the Lord, loving the Lord, listening to the Lord. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
As we look back over the roadmap of our lives, we often see the value of troubled times, personal trials, and even the experiences of pain or the death of a loved one. These are the building blocks that establish God's plan for us. It is with great honor that I'm pleased to introduce Pastor Chuck Smith's autobiography entitled A Memoir of Grace. You're invited to pull up a chair and listen as Pastor Chuck shares his personal story of how God's grace prepared him for life's purposes. Perhaps as you're reading this story, you'll be prompted to evaluate your own past, your present situation, and that which is yet to happen, and realize that it all plays a part in establishing God's plan for you. See God's grace at work in your own life when you order a personal copy of A Memoir of Grace by Pastor Chuck.
God called me into the ministry, and how God has just led us step by step.
For more information on how to order your copy, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call toll free at 1-800-272-WORD.